I'd like to welcome Mike King from Caprice MW, who's joining us tonight to talk about insurance for members. Turn it over to you, Mike.
Thanks, Sheila. Hi, everybody, and thank you all very much for coming tonight. It's I know it's a busy time, and it's summer, and it's nice weather. You should probably be out riding if you're not. But COVID-19 has certainly become a very important element of our life, and we've had just an awful lot of insurance questions, so NSEF thought it might be a good idea for me to do a short presentation to try and answer some questions that we're getting, not only in Nova Scotia, but frankly, in every other province across the country. I'm fortunate to be at the pointy end of the stick for COVID-19 for our organization, who provide coverage to the PTSOs like NSEF across the country. So a lot of what I've said, I've had the opportunity to speak to other groups and other individuals. So I guess what I would say at the outset is that, as you're probably aware, as a member of NSEF, you have two very important insurance policies that are provided to you automatically as a member in good standing. The first being a liability insurance policy that covers you for the ownership or use of a horse when it's being used for personal purposes as compared to commercial purposes, which we'll talk about briefly in a moment. And the second component that's automatically provided is an accident, death, and dismemberment policy to protect you as the member should you suffer a catastrophic injury because of an interaction with a horse. And as far as COVID-19 is concerned, those policies have been in force since forever. Continue to be enforced just as they were, and are frankly unaffected by COVID-19 or the presence of it. Liability insurance, of course, speaks to what happens if the horse should cause damage or property damage or bodily injury to someone else, and you as the owner or the user of the horse at the time are sued as a result of that damage or that loss suffered by them, which really has nothing to do with COVID-19. Horses have continued to do what horses do throughout COVID-19, and I expect they will continue to do what horses do forever. So that's really unaffected. The other policy, which is an accident policy, speaks to catastrophic injury and does not cover disease. So if folks are riding or interacting with horses and doing the things that we all do with our horses and suffer a very serious injury, then that AD&D policy is still going to be there, has been there, and will always be there. So, without disease coverage, there's really no relevance to COVID-19 in that program. So those components have been in place all the way through. We've had lots of questions from folks across the country asking if they can go ride their horse. And the answer is sure you can, as long as the government says you can, because that's really what's changed for all of us. Government has told us in every jurisdiction in the land what we can and cannot do. We've had to learn new behaviors, and about social distancing, and about sanitization, and coughing into our sleeve, and not talking to our neighbors as much as we'd like to, or seeing our friends as much as we'd like to. And those are really not insurance issues as much as they are government order issues. And so the real relevance to an insurance policy is that the insurance companies that provide any type of insurance expect you and I to act within the law in order for those policies to respond. So when we move away from those personal insurance components, we get into the commercial environment of the horse industry, and we start thinking about, as a facility manager, as a boarding place, as a riding school manager, inviting people to the premises, what does that look like? How do I do that under the guidance from the health officials? And those are very difficult questions. And again, I can answer the insurance questions, but I'm not going to purport to know all the regulations in Nova Scotia. You as a business owner need to know what those regulations are. You need to follow those regulations. You need to follow those guidances from the health officials in your county or in your region or indeed from the province. And what's clear to me over this experience has been that jurisdictions vary. Nova Scotia has very different rules than Ontario at the moment, or different from from New Brunswick or even PEI. So it's very important, more so than ever, that facility operators, business owners of all stripes are paying attention to what's going on in their local community to make sure they're compliant. And they're not doing it as a penalty or as a prejudice to you or I as a business owner. They're certainly doing it so that I remain healthy, that my customers remain healthy, that my staff remain healthy, and my family stays healthy. And those are important things for me. So I'm grateful that the government has been able to do the things that they've done. We've done exceedingly well in Canada, in my view, outside the long-term care problems that we've had in every province. but frankly, across the entire population, I think Canada can stand up and say we did pretty well. But it's because people did pay attention and government health officials made it very clear at the outset what we needed to do. So like being like all good Canadians, we were polite and we said, okay, we'll do that because that's the right thing to do. In the horse industry, it's been a bit of a challenge. People have been very anxious to go on ride. They're now very anxious to get back out and compete. And competitions are certainly going to be challenged in 2020, in my estimation. Guidance of health officials with gathering size. I understand from speaking with NSAF before the call that your gathering size is now expanded a little bit. You're now in bubbles of 10, but there can be more than one bubble in the proximity as long as you're not intermingling too much. I'm trying to imagine that at a horse show. I'm sort of figuratively picturing bubbles at a horse show, and I've got a bubble of 15-year-olds over here that are gaggling and doing what 15-year-olds do, and a gaggle over here that's coaches and doing what coaches do, and how those things intermingle. It's going to be a real challenge. And also to recognize that when government talks about gathering size at events, they're really talking about everybody on site. They're not segregating it to those individual bubble sizes, I don't think. I don't think that was the intent. So we have to consider things like officials and committee volunteers, the COVID police that will be on site to make sure that people are social distancing, and how does the show organizer manage that volunteer base that they now have to consider? How are they sanitizing things like porta potties? How are they doing food and water service, which they need to do just as part of being at the event? How many judges and officials need to be in a space depending on the discipline? And whether there's jump crews or ring crews and competition managers that have to be on site. All of those people are supposed to be under that general guidance of 40 or 50 people. I think it's 50 at the moment in Nova Scotia. But even when it gets to 100, it's going to be a very challenging time. In my mind, as a horseman, I would say that, you know, 50 gathering size is like 15 horses at the most. And one wonders whether or not that's economically viable. And we all want to get back to what was, and we want to get back to the things that we know how to do. But I dare say that in 2020, it's going to be very challenging to do. In addition to just getting back and working within that guidance, there's absolutely going to be other forms that we all have to sign. Some of us have already had to do that, whether it's related to a horse or going to a restaurant. For me, going to the grocery store has changed now. I've got to read a sign, and I've got to acknowledge to somebody before I enter the building that I haven't been sick for 14 days. I'm showing no symptoms now, that nobody in my bubble, my little life, has had symptoms or suffered from COVID-19, that I haven't traveled outside of my country for 14 days or my jurisdiction. Those are real questions that facility and premises owners need to ask so that they can protect others that you might come into contact with in their place of business, so that they're protecting themselves and their staff. And it's no different for us in the horse industry. We're just part of the community. We're part of that same citizenship. And we need to be compliant. So signing forms is now going to become a real thing at horse shows. And it's going to be different types of forms. It's going to be forms related to COVID-19 to say those things. And facility managers are going to have to store those forms for a period of time to make sure that no one does get sick. Last thing I'll speak to is just how the insurance is going to apply to all that. And the reality is that insurers across the country, indeed around the world, are now starting to impose specific exclusions related to COVID-19. So for facility managers, for service offerers, horse show organizers, and so forth, my recommendation is strongly to move forward as you return to activity and you start developing risk management strategy and assume you have no insurance, because that's probably going to be true. And it doesn't mean that insurers won't eventually come back to provide coverage for it. But frankly, until there's a vaccine that is proven in the community at large, I doubt very much that insurers are going to be anxious to provide coverage for what is clearly going to be an onslaught of claims. It may not be at a horse show, it may be at a restaurant, it may be at Costco, it may be somewhere else. But insurers around the world are already sort of shoring up the defense and preparing for what will be a lot of claims. So we're going to have to move forward in life. We have to get out of bed and move around. We have to go out and enjoy our animals, but we're probably going to have to do it without insurance for that specific exposure. So we're going to have to be very diligent and vigilant to make sure that we're acting responsibly when we invite people to a premises. Because when we do so, we're taking on a duty of care that is absolutely elevated. and means that we are responsible to a large degree to maintain a healthy environment so the people who visit our business can also come with the confidence that they will leave the facility or the environment or the show as healthy as what they were when they arrived. So that's what I wanted to speak to tonight. There's lots of other elements to all of this in the horse industry. There is a ton of resource material on NSCF's website. They've done an incredibly good job of posting links to these risk forms that I've referred to today, some literature that we've posted, lots of literature that's been posted by the Nova Scotia government, lots of information from Equestrian Canada. There really is a whole gamut of stuff that can be looked at quite easily to benefit the horse community in Nova Scotia, which we hope gets back to the new normal just as soon as possible and everybody remains safe. So you're welcome to contact me directly. There's email addresses in some of the documentation that we have posted. If somebody wants to reach me and can't find me, I'm sure Sheila or Meredith or Heather at NSCF can certainly direct them to me. I'm happy to answer the inquiry. And anyway, that's it for tonight, guys. I hope everybody stays safe and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much, Mike. That was great. We really appreciate the time and the information, and we'll chat again very soon.
Okay. Everybody take care now.